This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Just before his country, Serbia, was bombed by NATO forces, director Goran Paskaljevic released his latest film. The film, Cabaret Balkan, is a series of vignettes which shows the volatile atmosphere that had developed in Serbia, where ethnic, economic, and political tensions were mirrored in personal conflicts like jealous rages and petty acts of violent revenge. Paskaljevic is married to a French woman and for the past few years has divided his time between France and Belgrade. He participated in the large anti-Milosevic demonstrations 2 winters ago. He was last there 3 months ago, just before the bombing. His film Cabaret Balkan was the official centerpiece of the Human Rights Watch International Film Festival in New York earlier this month. It begins its theatrical release July 23rd. Everyone in the movie is operating on a very short fuse. In fact, the original title of the film was Powder Keg. Although he used that title for its European release, he had to change it in the States.
Here we had some formal problems because Warner Brothers registered this title for a new Kevin Costner's movie, so we couldn't use it. But I hope that my new film not going to be Dancing with the Wolves.
That's right. You'll show him.
Yeah.
It seems to me in your movie that you're kind of saying everyone is guilty. You know, that somebody commits a wrong against somebody else, and the person who's been wronged commits an even greater wrong as an act of revenge, and things just are constantly cycling out of control in each of the stories in your movie. Are you trying to say that really everyone ends up being guilty?
Yeah, I'm trying to raise this question during the movie many times. And I think it's a moment that we ask ourselves, are we guilty for our destiny? And I think yes. And it will be very important for Serbian people to ask this question and to understand that we are also guilty for our bad luck, if I can say it like that. The only in the film, you know, who says I'm not guilty, it's a new generation. And unfortunately, they are without future. And, you know, I didn't want to say who is guilty, but already to ask this question, it's very important.
Well, you opposed the Milosevic government and participated in the major demonstrations against him. And
yes.
I guess it was it the winter of 97, 98?
Yes.
Yet you opposed the bombing. Why did you oppose the bombing of your country?
Because I don't think that the bombing can help to bombing is destruction, you know, and you cannot do bombing infrastructure and say we are not against the people. So that's create a very much anti-Western and anti-American feeling, and I'm part of democratic opposition. How you can explain to the people today that our future is on the West and integrate the Europe, because it's normal that Serbia go that way and not to China, you know.
How did your parents and your children who were still in Serbia do during the bombing?
But like everybody else, what can you do? It's you are hopeless. You cannot do anything.
Were they okay? Were they hurt? Were their houses still intact?
Their houses are okay. They live in the middle of Belgrade, and the middle of Belgrade is not touched very much. I live 5 houses from the television building, which is bombed, and it was very hard moment for me to recognize a friend of mine who is killed in television station, one technician. So, you know, and I lived in Paris, all this bombing, and every night I watch CNN till 3 o'clock in the morning just to see what is bombed, because you cannot to sleep, and in the same time somebody can kill your kid in Belgrade. So it's really a horrible thing to live, and not productive at all. I said in many interviews just before the bombing, if that starts, that will make Milosevic even stronger, that will completely destroy also the democratic opposition. Also, a lot of lives are lost, and the country is now 50 years back economically. And you know, it's no victory for anybody, because it's just in this war, it's two big losers, and that's Albanian people and Serbian people.
Now that the bombing is over, what effect do you think it finally had on Milosevic and his popularity in Serbia?
I think that the people who were with Milosevic, they are still with Milosevic, even stronger now. And the people who are against him, they are still against him. But also don't forget the bombing created immediately the state of emergency. And that means that the opposition press don't exist, that you live under the laws, you cannot to leave country, you are limited and it enforced his power.
I think you were already living in Paris during the anti-Milosevic demonstrations in 97 and 98, but you returned...
Yes, I left immediately Paris and I went back to Belgrade to be with the people on the streets, because that's my... I think Yugoslavia badly needed democratic changes.
Would you describe for us what those anti-government demonstrations were like in 97 and 98 that you flew back to Belgrade to participate in?
But we went to the street peacefully, and it was very important for us to show that we are ready to go every day on a demonstration asking for our rights and don't make a step to the violence. And after 100 days, we succeed, and we got the cities like Belgrade, Kraljevo, Čačak, some bigger Niš, some bigger cities in Serbia. But after that, when you take the power, you need some money to show that you are, and some support to show that the things will be better. And if you are short and the money is in the government's hands, it's not easy, you know. So I said so many times, why on that moment we didn't have any support.
What kind of rights or power do you think you won after the 100 days?
Morally we won, first of all, which is very important, and the people started for the first time to feel freedom, and they were on the streets, and for the first time I saw the people that they are ready to confront police, that they are not afraid of official power, you understand what I mean? And the police created the cordons all over the Belgrade, and we approached to them and we talked to them, and I had a feeling that they are ready to pass on our side easily. So what is fantastic, it's this hope on that moment, you know. So after that, as I said, we didn't have support, and to be honest, these political leaders like Vuk Drašković and Đinđić, they started to fight between them for power, and Milošević used that immediately. So the people after that, when you have a hope, and after that immediately you understand that you are in the same situation, and that all this energy didn't worth it, these 100 days of the streets. It became very, how to say, disappointing, and that's why I badly needed to do Cabaret Balkan or Powder Keg to show this situation.
My guest is Serbian film director Goran Paskaljevic. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Serbian film director Goran Paskaljevic. His film Cabaret Balkan begins its theatrical run in the U.S. in late July. Now, I think you have a pretty interesting family history. From what I've read, your maternal great-great-grandfather was one of the writers of the Constitution when Serbia became independent in 1882.
Mm. Yes.
Were there many stories about that passed on through the family?
Not really, because, my family, it's an upper-class family. So when the communists came in the country, they paid the price. So they took the house from us, took everything. And it's an intellectual family. My father was a writer and a journalist. My mother, she was a professor of history. And it wasn't easy for intellectuals in Yugoslavia, even during the Tito's period, you know. Because don't forget, Tito is a dictator also. And so we never had a really a period in Serbia or in Yugoslavia, a real democracy. So I think it's really very important to build up democracy in Balkans, especially in Serbia and Kosovo, in Albania, Macedonia. And if we do that, we can integrate the Europe, which is for me very normal because culturally we belong to Europe, not just because we are Christians, but also because we have a wonderful cultural values there for centuries, you know. So it's a pity that we live like a pariah behind the world, you know.
You know, a lot of people say now, looking back, that at least Tito managed to hold people together in spite of long histories of ethnic hatred. Do you agree with that? Was your sense of ethnic difference in Serbia different under Tito than it was after communism?
It was a different atmosphere. He really created this atmosphere that to push back the nationalism. And for example, my first wife, she's a Croatian, and we had, I think, 2 million mixed marriages, and we started to forget our ethnics, who is Serbs, who is Croatian, who is Muslim, you know. What was wonderful in Sarajevo, it's just that mixture. But after Tito's death, we had a short period of Ante Marković. It's a prime minister who worked on idea that we stay together and that we develop strongly economy. And but unfortunately, some other leaders like Milošević, Tuđman, Izetbegović, all of them worked in another direction because they build up their powers on the nationalism, which is the worst what can happen to one nation, you know. It's easy if you don't have any economical program or something really to offer to your people. You just have to say you are better than others and the others are guilty, responsible for what's wrong with you, etc. And it's easy when you create this nationalist atmosphere to have a power and keep your power. And that's the tragic what's happened in Yugoslavia. I think it's a moment now for the Serbs and others to stop looking in the back, and because our history is full of crimes and you have to go ahead and watch your future. Look what French and Germans, they passed through two wars and a lot of hate. But today they're creating a new Europe together. They have an army together. They live together in peace. So we have to follow this example. And because when I say to my friends today, look, the bombing, it's horrible, but you don't see all the informations, the paramilitary forces did so many crimes in Kosovo, and they respond to me, yes, but the Albanians did a lot of crimes against the Serbian population 15 years ago, etc., etc. I mean, if you don't stop looking the history like that, you will be always full of negative energy and destructive energy.
Which is, I think, what your film has to say also. I'm wondering, when you first started seeing political leaders using nationalism and ethnic conflict to boost their own power, how did you see that sense of nationalism and ethnic hatred surface in people that you knew, friends, neighbors, people on the buses, I mean, whatever? Like, how did you start to feel that ethnic tensions were being increased and manipulated by political leaders?
But, you know, it's a very interesting question. For example, my film Cabaret Balkan, it's the only film, Serbian film, who is shown all over the ex-Yugoslavia. And I went with my actors to Sarajevo for the premiere of the film, and it was a little bit tense, you know, the first meeting with the journalist there. But in one moment I said, listen, I'm here and I have a strong feeling when I saw this destroyed Sarajevo to apologize myself to you for the siege of Sarajevo. And when I come back later on in Belgrade, some of my friends told me, why you have to apologize? They did also the crimes against us. So many Serbs are kicked out from Sarajevo and from Croatia. And that's true. We have between 700 and 1 million refugees in Serbia, Serbs who are kicked out from Croatia, etc. But I try to explain them that if everybody apologizes to everybody, that's the way how we can live together tomorrow. If not, we will just increase the hate, you know. So how I saw that in the buses, you asked me, on the streets. The people start to repeat the arguments which are not the real arguments. If you hear on a television and a radio and you read in a newspaper something which is not a real argument, but if they repeat it 100 times, you start to believe that it's true.
What's a typical lie or argument that was, you know, used by political leaders and then repeated until it seemed true?
I can say a lie, but for example, if you start to repeat that in Kosovo, the Serbians are girls are raped and they kicking out the Serbian family from Kosovo, and if you repeat that every day, many times, you increase the nationalism because the people start to react. And I cannot to say that is a lie, but if you repeat it that and you talk about it all the time in a newspaper, the Serbian says, wait a minute, what they are doing to us. And that's how you raise the nationalism. Let's take a CNN like example also. When the bombing started, Madeleine Albright said that it's going to take 5-6 days. I remember that very well. So after that, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of bombing and a lot of refugee, it's increased the refugee crisis. And CNN started to show the refugees all the time. You understand what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And pushes these images very much. So after that, they said, you see why we are bombing, to save those people. And the people all over the world said, yes, it's horrible, you see what's happened, all these refugees, we have to continue the bombing to save these people. But we just forget that it's 10 times more refugees after the first bomb, because that was a signal for the paramilitary forces and Serbian paramilitary forces to for the revenge there in Kosovo. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Right, so that you're saying that some of the pictures we saw of the refugees, that the refugees were fleeing in part because the bombing itself set off attacks against them.
Yes, and if you repeat something on television all the time, that became a fact, and you can manipulate the audience easily.
Goran Paskaljevic directed the new film Cabaret Balkan. It opens in New York July 23rd, then slowly opens in other cities. He'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Serbian film director Goran Paskaljevic. He divides his time between Paris and Belgrade. His new film, Cabaret Balkan, which was made before the NATO bombing, is about how political, economic, and ethnic tensions are mirrored in personal conflicts, petty revenge, and pointless violence. The film opens theatrically in the U.S. beginning in late July. It's already been shown in the Balkans. Do you think that your new film, Cabaret Balkan, is going to change your profile in Serbia? Do you think it will be any more difficult for you to go in and out of the country, or that you'll be any more or less popular in your country?
But the film is open in October last year, and it became a very popular film there. I didn't have any support. I didn't have any poster in the city, and I just had some independent cinema. But the word of mouth was very good, and especially young generation liked it very much. It became a kind of cult film there. The official didn't like it. It's normal. And I had already many problems because of my interviews abroad, and because I'm saying what... without limit what I'm thinking, you know. And they attacked me that I'm traitor of the nation, that I have to kill myself at least if I have any dignity. And, you know, it's... but you have to take these kind of risks. And I think that silence is sometimes also... a shame in sometimes, in some difficult times. You cannot to be, you don't have a right to be just silent and because of your proper safety.
Now, are most of the actors in your movie from Serbia?
Yes, they are nearly all from Belgrade, and they are the best actors in Belgrade, yeah.
I don't imagine they've had a whole lot of work lately. What's been happening in the theater and film industry?
But it's the end of the film industry. Even before the bombing, we didn't have a lab, camera equipment, but now I don't see how we can make films, because my film is paid by French. Canal Plus and some European foundations, and I just find 5% of the budget in Serbia, and I can find the money abroad because the people knows my work, and it's my 11th film. I had many films in Cannes, in Berlin, in Venice Film Festival. But what to do for a new generation? I have a son who is 25 and he's finishing his film school also, and I know his generation, and I saw their little video films, and I see that they have a lot of talents, and they want to talk about the problems, and they are very engaged. But who going to support them? If they go to the West asking for some support, they will automatically said, show us what you did. And it's going to be very hard for them.
Have most of the actors who are in your movie Cabaret Balkan stayed in Serbia, or have they left?
Most of them are in Serbia, because for actors, it's not easy to they must to speak perfectly a language, they must to have some money to leave the country. And our actors, they are not the stars like American actors. They are ordinary people like the others, and that's why they fight it to be in Cabaret Balkan, because they felt this film like something really important for all of us to say. So they are very limited, but they are all in the theaters, and the theaters are full every night. So they are mostly now in the theaters.
The theaters are full every night?
Yes.
Even during the bombing, were they filled?
And even during the bombing. It was a kind of resistance, you know.
One of the characters early on in your movie says, anybody with any brains has left the country. I'm wondering when you left, if you had any mixed feelings about leaving, in the sense of, I think it's true that a lot of intellectuals did leave the country. Did you feel at all bad about leaving at a time when intellectuals were...
I'm not a good person to pose this question. I'm love immigrant and not economical or political immigrant.
Right, because your wife is French. Right.
The French girl. It's natural for her to live in Paris and for me in Belgrade, so we split our time in between. But I met... so many young people all over the world, Yugoslav, who left the country, and their feelings are horrible. They want to go back because this generation is an educated generation, and they would like to go back where their cultural roots are. And it's harder for them than for this first emigration 50 years ago, for example, which integrate easier because they are just economical emigration.
Would you like to move back to Belgrade sometime, or do you think that that's not likely to happen?
I will go back. Now I'm preparing a film in Mexico. I will shoot this film in Mexico probably in October, November, and when I finish the film in the spring, I will go back and probably prepare another movie in Serbia.
And
if I can get the financial support, I would like to do the film in Serbia again.
Work with some of the same actors again?
Oh, yes, they are fantastic. So some of them will be in the movie, it's definitely.
Well, I wish you good luck, and I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Goran Paskaljevic directed the new film Cabaret Balkan. It opens in New York July 23rd and will open in other cities later in the summer. This is Fresh Air.